Happy New Year, everyone. Here's to an awesome 2021. This is the History of Things podcast. I'm your host, Mark, and I thought today we would check out the history of one of the world's most famous soft drinks, Dr. Pepper. It's got quite a story, so stick around. So I think it's safe to say that Dr. Pepper has been a favorite of many for generations. It first appeared in 1885 when a Brooklyn-born pharmacist by the name of Charles Alderton came up with the recipe for the soft drink. So this new carbonated beverage, it was marketed as having its own unique flavor. And 130 years later, the soft drink can still be found on shelves and refrigerated coolers all over the globe. It was in Morrison's old corner drugstore in Waco, Texas, where Alderton began experimenting with different recipes. The drugstore at the time was serving fountain drinks, which was ideal for Alderton to sample his recipes. And it wasn't long before a particular recipe of his actually started gaining attention. Before this new soft drink even had its own name, customers would come into the drugstore and ask Alderton to quote-unquote shoot them a Waco. So the popularity of this drink grew quickly, and Alderton and Morrison had the challenge of trying to keep up with the demand for this new drink. The drink eventually caught the eye of a guy named Robert S. Lazenby, L-A-Z-E-N-B-Y, and this guy owned the Circle A Ginger Ale Company that was also in Waco, Texas. He was impressed with the new drink, and he became interested in taking care of the business and manufacturing end of the drink. And it just so happens that Alderton had really no interest in that part of the business or the production of the drink. So he agreed to hand it over to Morrison and Lazenby. So in my opinion, I really like the Dr. Pepper name. I think it's pretty cool. And I especially like the colors of the logo. The burgundy and the white really stand out nicely. But there's actually a few theories as to how that name came to be. The first one, some people say that Morrison had a friend named Dr. Charles Pepper, and so he just named the drink in honor of his friend. Others say that Alderton's first job was working for a Dr. Pepper, and so Alderton named the drink in honor of him. The third theory is that the Pep, PEP, refers to the pepsin enzyme that's in our stomachs, and it breaks down proteins into smaller peptides. I don't know about that one. Or maybe on the more simpler side of things, Dr. Pepper back then was marketed as a brain tonic and energy drink, along with many other soft drinks of that day. So maybe the pep in Pepper was just named that way because those who drank it got pep from it. But I also checked the website under the Q&A section of drpepper.com, and where it asks where the Dr. Pepper name came from. So this is what it says, and I'll read it verbatim. A pharmacist named Charles Alderton created Dr. Pepper in 1885. Alderton worked at a drugstore in Waco, Texas, owned by Wade Morrison. Legend has it that Morrison named it Dr. Pepper after the father of a young girl he was once in love with. So I'll let you decide how that name came about. There's definitely some interesting theories there. So either way, it's a really cool name. Dr. Pepper got its national debut in 1904 in the World's Fair in St. Louis. In that same fair, the ice cream cone, the hamburger, and the hot dog were also making their first debuts as well that year. I found some old advertisements that recommended that Dr. Pepper be drank at 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and again at 4 p.m. to keep you awake and energized throughout the day. And some of those old logos for Dr. Pepper actually have the numbers 10, 2, and 4 around the Dr. Pepper name. So this also coincides with it being a energy drink back in the day. So believe it or not, Dr. Pepper is not a cola. So for the major part of its history, Dr. Pepper found itself confined to be sold only in the South and Southwest of the United States. Pepsi Cola and Coca-Cola had used their head starts on Dr. Pepper to establish a nationwide network of independent bottlers who had exclusive franchise contracts to turn the syrup into cola. So this made it practically impossible for Dr. Pepper to also crack into that market. But then 1963 comes along. And along with 1963 comes a court ruling that stated Dr. Pepper's unique flavors kept it from being classified as a cola. So this meant the bottlers could distribute Dr. Pepper without voiding any contracts with any other companies. So by the end of the 1960s, Dr. Pepper was being distributed from coast to coast. And a step back here, in the 1950s, the logo for Dr. Pepper was upgraded or changed. So in the new redesigned logo, the font was changed and the text was slanted and the period for the doctor was actually dropped. And they did that because the designers felt that the DR for doctor with the period instead look like a DI and a colon. So the letters DI and a colon. So they dropped the period, changed the font, and put a slant to it to make it more legible. So I'd like to do a bit of a sidetrack here. I enjoy promoting honest, good small businesses. And I wanted to take a few seconds here to promote something that I truly, truly believe in. If you live in British Columbia, Canada, specifically in the Lower Mainland, and you are in need of a mechanic, I have found the best mechanic I have ever seen. This guy, his name is Paul Carter, and he owns Paul Carter Automotive. They're on the corner of Mount Lehman and Fraser Highway in Abbotsford. I met Paul years ago when I was in charge of our fleet of vehicles for the company I was with, and I would be taking my vehicles to him to be repaired. There are plenty of times where Paul could have just taken our money and replaced things that didn't need to be replaced. But on multiple occasions, for example, this brake job, I could have sworn this car needed new brakes. I brought the car in, they give it back to me saying, no, you've got about 30%, 35% left on the front, let's wear them out before we spend any more money. I was working for a huge corporate conglomerate at the time, and it would have been nothing to them to pay for this brake job, but Paul decided, nope, we're going to get as much money out of these brake pads as we can. And he did that for me on several occasions. And this is also where I figured out just how brilliant of a mechanic Paul is. I often to this day call him on advice for different vehicles that I might be looking at buying. And it doesn't matter the year, doesn't matter the model, the make. Paul always knows something about that vehicle and his advice has always been bang on. So please, if you are in need of a mechanic, and we all know the value of a good mechanic, check him out at paulcarterauto.com. And his phone number is 604-854-1775. You can tell him that his friend Mark sent you, and he'll take excellent care of you. Everyone that I have sent over to Paul has been incredibly impressed and keeps going back to him. He's got more than 100 five-star reviews on Google right now, which is something I don't ever recall seeing from anybody else. And he's won awards and things like that. You cannot beat his quality of service, and he stands by everything he does. So if you are in need of a good mechanic in the Lower Mainland area of British Columbia, check out paulcarterauto.com. So until the research for this podcast, I had never heard of a hot Dr. Pepper drink. It's what they called a wintertime drink. You would put a thin slice of lemon into an insulated cup or a coffee mug, and you would heat up some Dr. Pepper to about 180 degrees Fahrenheit, and then pour it into the coffee cup with the lemon in it. And that was your wintertime drink. Never heard of that before. And currently, Dr. Pepper comes in a few different flavors, and some of them are caffeine-free, or cherry Dr. Pepper, or cherry vanilla Dr. Pepper. All of those flavors come in a diet version as well. The true ingredients or flavors in Dr. Pepper have remained a secret since the day the drink was introduced. But since the 1930s, there's been a rumor or speculation that Dr. Pepper had prune juice in it. It had some people wondering all these years if that was in fact true. The truth is, prune juice is not an ingredient of Dr. Pepper. And they think that the origins from that rumor might have been from maybe a delivery driver of one of the competition or competitors' drinks, just stating a rumor. And if you think about it, it was smart, because given the outcome of prune juice, that would definitely deter some people from trying that drink. So that was very interesting how that all happened. But they did in fact confirm that prune juice is not one of the ingredients. The other thing that I found out was the actual recipe for Dr. Pepper has actually been split into two parts, two pages, if you will. And each of those page is in a safety deposit box, but the pages are in separate banks. So they've split up the recipe, so if a safety deposit box gets broken into, they won't have the full recipe. That's very interesting how they did that. Here's a bit of a story of an older woman who was, a huge fan of Dr. Pepper. But it says, forget real doctors. When Elizabeth Sullivan turned 104 years old, she told CBS that the doctor she turns to is none other than Dr. Pepper. She says, people try to give me coffee for breakfast. Well, I'd rather have a Dr. Pepper, she said. I started drinking them about 40 years ago. Three a day. Every doctor that sees me says they'll kill you. But they die, and I don't. So there must be a mistake somewhere. To mark the occasion, the soft drink company sent Sullivan a cake shaped like, what else? A bottle of Dr. Pepper. Not sure exactly when that story took place, but that's an interesting one too. And it may not be a big surprise that there was some rivalry between Dr. Pepper and Coca-Cola over the years. Dr. Pepper sued Coca-Cola back in 1951. For the amount of $750,000, claiming that the nickel Coca-Colas were in fact being sold below cost. And therefore, that's what's called a restraint of trade. So I guess they were selling them for too little money. Who would have known that was against the law? But apparently, they took them to court for it. And in 1972, saw another lawsuit between Dr. Pepper and Coca-Cola. This one's a little bit different. This time, it was for trademark infringements. Coca-Cola had introduced its own similar version to Dr. Pepper, and they had named it Peppo, P-E-P-P-O, which, of course, was too similar to the Dr. Pepper name. So then, Coca-Cola changed the name to Dr. Pibb, P-I-B-B. That wasn't much better and still violated trademarks. So the last name, Mr. Pibb, was chosen. So along with the success of Dr. Pepper's court ruling of not being a cola drink, in 1969, the then president and CEO, a guy by the name of W.W. Foots Clements, succeeded in convincing the Coca-Cola Bottling Company in New York to bottle and distribute Dr. Pepper in the New York metropolitan area. And 1962 saw the introduction of a dietetic Dr. Pepper, and that was in cans. And a year later, in 63, came out the bottled version. The public had a misconception that this new drink was strictly for diabetics, so sales were not that great in the very beginning. So in 1966, the company renamed the drink to Sugar-Free Dr. Pepper. And then later in 1987, they changed the name yet again to Diet Dr. Pepper. It's said that in 2006, Diet Dr. Pepper was the 10th best-selling drink, according to Beverage Digest magazine. And this was after a 6.4% gain in sales. The slogan for Diet Dr. Pepper from 1991 to 2006 was, "Diet Dr. Pepper tastes more like regular Dr. Pepper." And in 2006, the new campaign was comparing Dr. Pepper to more of something like a dessert, with the new slogan that said, "There's nothing diet about it." There's one last tidbit that I wanted to share with you guys before I sign off. I bet a lot of us think that Coca-Cola is the oldest soft drink on the planet. But in actuality, Dr. Pepper is the oldest drink on the planet. Dr. Pepper was on the market a full year before Coca-Cola made its debut. I had no idea. It's pretty interesting. I always find it fascinating to learn about a company or a product and how it started. These stories are usually very interesting, and the Dr. Pepper story is definitely no exception. This will wrap up this episode. Thank you for listening to The History of Things. I am your host, Mark. And I just wanted to say, yeah, thank you so much for taking the time. And if you've made it this far, please give the podcast a 5-star rating. It helps the podcast to grow in ways that you can't imagine. And if you are interested in supporting the podcast itself, there is a link in the episode description or the podcast description itself for a PayPal account. A small $2 donation would help us out huge. I am in need of upgrading my microphone and some other equipment, so any donations like that would be a huge help in improving the quality of what I can bring out to you guys. But either way, any support is hugely appreciated. Thank you again, and we will catch you on the next episode.